Hey there, loves. Welcome back to another episode of The Organic Buzz. Today we are diving into something super transparent, something super personal on my behalf. I feel like lately we've been on a roll where I kind of am starting to feel like these last handful of episodes are like, you know, part one, two, three, four, five. And they really just overlap and mesh well together. As we continue to dive into this information, have different discussions and perspectives on it. And I feel like it's great timing too, because we're rounding out 2022, rolling into 2023, and there's always a huge push, as we know, with New Year's resolutions. And everybody always has their health and wellness and their longevity and just their overall well-being at the forefront of almost every New Year's resolution, right? So it's just a huge focus at this time of the year going into the next year. So it's just really great timing to talk about this. And a lot of this stuff, I feel like, what better way to give you a tried and true example than using none other than myself. So as a certified intuitive eating counselor, if I know I can be, if I can still find myself with disordered eating habits or health and wellness behaviors, or being subjected to the wellness culture and kind of falling into their trap, then somebody who really doesn't have as much training and education in the world of intuitive eating definitely probably finds themselves in the same, very same situation. So Definitely sharing my own personal experiences today here, and definitely being very transparent and getting really real with you guys. Now, disclaimer that this episode, all past episodes and future episodes, they are not a substitute for medical advice. I am a certified intuitive eating counselor by trade. I am not an MD or a registered dietitian. So this is, you know, just my perspective, my education, my knowledge, all of that. And it is not a substitute for medical advice and or treatment. And I definitely always recommend proceeding with your own judgment, your own, you know, follow your own intuitive compass, and always consult your healthcare providers in the appropriate scope, as always. But okay, so let's dive in today. So what are we going to talk about here? We are going to continue the conversation about the whole entire wellness industry. Now, definitely this applies more so to those of you lovely individuals out there with a reproductive system that allows you to birth babies. You guys are the ones that I am really talking to today, because this directly affects you. So with a biologically female reproductive system, we know that we have hormones, and they change so much from day to day. They change. They're never the same. No 2 days are the same. However, if you've taken to social media, to the interwebs in 2022 at all, and you probably have seen different professionals, different people on the interwebs, and different companies, different products, all talking about hormones and balancing your hormones. That's really, really seems to be the biggest craze in 2023, is the push that women need to balance their hormones to achieve optimal health. And we've really had a lot come to light about birth control, most importantly, hormonal birth control, but even non-hormonal birth control methods like the copper IUD and things like that. But we've had a lot of information come forth in 2022, I feel like, about our hormones as women, and as all of that pertains to our health in almost every aspect, and how important it is to balance them. And while there's so much greatness about that, because it is very important, our hormones are a huge part of our health. And there is so much information about hormonal birth control that has not been shared, that our doctors, even with the best of intentions, they're not sharing with you exactly what hormonal birth control does to the body and to our hormones, and what could be the repercussions of that and the possible dangers. We're just not being told the whole story when it comes to hormonal birth control methods. And so while that is great that we are increasing the awareness on those things, and you know, just really honing in on having a more transparent system with women's reproductive rights in general, the wellness industry over the last couple of years has become the diet culture in disguise. And this is no different. So the wellness industry really does want to hone in on whatever it is they can to get themselves, basically to continue, get themselves in your pocket, right? And to continue to make themselves rich. And I think it doesn't take me as an to be an MD, and I don't think any of you have to, you know, have any fancy degrees or education to know that everybody's hormones are different, and where our current hormone levels are and where maybe they should be for optimal health is vastly different from person to person. And if you look at all of these supplements and products and a lot of this information on do this and do that and try this and, you know, try that, it's very a one size fits all. You're very much so throwing supplements blindly into your body, and you have no idea if your body needs that or how it's going to react to that. And I know you're thinking, well, duh, but how am I ever going to find out? Well, you probably aren't going to find out. And it is very hard to know, but it still needs to be said, and it needs to be taken into consideration when you're blindly putting things into your body that you just have no idea. And it's kind of like, imagine if everybody kind of got fatigued after they ate, right? Like, I'm sure that we all experience that at some point, maybe regularly or maybe it's sparsely. But we all experience that fatigue after a meal. Well, we can just assume, oh, well, then everybody just has an issue with their blood sugar, and we're all just going to give everybody metformin and it'll be fine. And we don't conclude that with testing on everybody. We don't do a single test on a single individual and just give y'all metformin and just assume we have a blood sugar issue. That's the same, pretty exactly the same thing that you're doing when you go blindly with supplements. You just don't know what's going on with your body and where everything is at and how you're going to respond to things. And so you might be thinking, well, what's the harm if I take a multivitamin and I really don't need the vitamin D? Can it just get rid of it? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. And I'm sure that answer is different for everybody. Again, I'm not a doctor, so this is not about medical advice, but it is definitely proceeding with caution because the wellness culture is so good at doing what they do about getting you into this spot of scarcity and the spot of, well, oh my God, but maybe what if, right? And so if you ask me, I think the wellness culture does a very good job of that. And it almost does it better than the diet culture ever did. You know, diet culture really honed in on making sure that we felt scared and insecure, and we felt like we had to change our bodies to feel validated and to feel worthy. And, you know, we're still unpacking all of that and working through that. But the wellness culture, everybody wants to be healthy. You know, they're kind of taking the spotlight off of our physical body and now honing in on something a little more sacred to us, right? Our health, our longevity, our energy, right? Duh. Like, that's even more sacred to us, I think, than what the number on the scale says or what size clothes we fit into. Definitely, right? And even those who are moving out of the diet culture and, you know, really focusing on our body size and our weight and all of that, those people, i.e. myself included, so that pretty much means all of us, want to still be healthy regardless of our size. So this is taking that part of the puzzle out of the equation when we're not focusing on our size and we're focusing on health. So I really think the wellness industry, the wellness culture, is even more dangerous than the diet culture was. Because as a certified intuitive eating counselor of almost 6 years, someone who was a chronic dieter and has long gave that up almost 6 years ago, has even fallen victim in the past year to the wellness culture. Maybe I don't know if falling victim to the wellness culture is the best way to put it, but again, that's where I'm at the end. And so to share and be completely transparent with you, at the middle of this year, I have spent a really sizable chunk of change on a program with a lovely lady who calls herself a functional diagnostic nutritionist. And there is this whole certification program that these people can go through, but if you look up the place that they go through it, they have 6 to 12 months of self-paced 100% online education, and then they get the certificate upon completing, I think, of a test or the course, and then through a website they're allowed to order different tests like a Dutch test or a hair mineral analysis test, a GI mapping test, different types of urine tests to look for things like mold and different yeast overgrowth and tons of different things. And while these tests can be helpful and you're thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing, right? It's great that we can test ourselves, that we can get better answers. You know, a lot of people will say that these tests are inconclusive and there's no, you know, validity to them, which maybe that's true, maybe that's not, I'm not sure. But it is still great to have more information by having these test results than it is to go in more blindly. But where this whole program and where all of this gets tricky and how I feel that I've fallen into the wellness trap is basically everything outside of the tests, right? So while I'm glad that I went ahead and did these tests to see, well, where are my hormone levels according to my hair mineral analysis test? What does my gut look like according to this GI mapping, which, you know, was taken via a stool sample? Or what does my urine show as far as, you know, having maybe like a candida overgrowth or, you know, exposure to toxins and mold and things like that? Like, what does it show so that I can have this information to help support myself maybe with supplements or behaviors or food or anything like that, right? But where it does kind of take victim is this, is basically what those results show of the test. Because for me, personally, I have had my test results show that I would have what they call a non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And of course, I took to the internet, took to asking other people kind of their experience and whatever, and there's so much information everywhere about the validity of these tests and saying they're garbage and they're not valid and that they don't really show what you think they do and that blah, 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 whatever. Basically, you can find just about anything that you want on the internet to support or debunk whatever it is that you're looking up. So to say that I was even the least bit confused is slash was an understatement. So what did I do? At first, I was like, nah, I don't feel like I have any symptoms of what somebody who says they have been diagnosed with celiac disease has. I feel like I eat gluten, you know, and I'm completely fine. But at the same time, I was like, well, I am experiencing some rheumatoid arthritis symptoms in my hand. I do have some joint pain in my knees from time to time. But then again, I also contributed that to, you know, I was in a car accident when I was younger. I was actually hit by a car. So maybe that's something to do with that. But, you know, my cheeks have always been really rosy. And I'm like, well, maybe, right? And then you look up these symptoms. And these symptoms on the internet, they're the same as everything. They're chronic fatigue. They're brain fog. They're, you know, inability to lose weight, inability to gain weight, weight gain, weight loss, hair loss. I mean, you name it, it's on there, right? But again, those symptoms can be listed and are listed for dozens upon dozens of different health conditions. And so it's like, okay, so then what do I do? Well, then I was like, well, let me be intuitive with myself, right? I'm going to give up gluten and I'm just going to see how I feel. Well, then you go down the rabbit hole of giving up gluten. And I successfully gave up gluten for 2-3 weeks, something like that. And then I decided to have gluten. Well, then I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've eaten gluten and I've seen kind of some changes, right? So I analyzed what happened. And over those couple of weeks, I did feel, I could say, okay, maybe my cheeks were a little less red. I noticed like maybe around my eyes were a little less puffy and my, what I'm saying is like a rheumatoid arthritis type symptoms in my right hand and fingers went away almost and got better. But then with the gluten, when I ate it, I did see a little bit of a return of the symptoms in my hand, which is primarily what I noticed the most. The rosiness in my cheeks, it's come and gone, and I don't know. I did recently, like a month ago, start a new skincare routine. So does that have something to do with it? Lately, I have had a few things that I normally stay away from in my diet that, even though they're still gluten-free, they've contained things that I usually don't eat, like high fructose corn syrup and food dyes and things like that. So it's kind of like, okay, so now how do I know? There is studies that show there's the placebo effect and the nocebo effect. And what I'm really getting at is, if you're like, holy crap, yes, that's it. That's what I'm getting at. At the end of this, I'm just like, holy freaking crap. What do I do? How do I know what to believe? I don't even, at this point in my life, I feel like, I'm like, I don't even know if I can even trust my own body, because, you know, then I went back to being gluten-free and I went out one night and I decided to, you know, drink a beer, which I love beer. That's just my drink of choice. If I'm deciding to consume alcohol. And so I had a beer, I had a traditional pizza with gluten, and I was like, the next day, like that later that day, I was like, well, my hand doesn't hurt, nothing, I don't really notice anything, so I'm fine. And then the next day I kind of have a headache, and you know, every 5 seconds I'm thinking and look, you know, thinking about my fingers and my hands. I'm like, oh, does it hurt, does it not hurt? And then I'm like looking at my cheeks being like, are they more red, are they not more red? And I find myself in this obsessive, disordered frame of mind around my body and gluten, to the literal point that it's driving me insane. And as a certified intuitive eating counselor of 6 years, if I can find myself in this trap, in this predicament, anybody can. And I'm not even saying that me or certified intuitive eating counselors are better than anybody. But if we have this training, if we have this education and exposure, and we have helped so many others break up with disordered eating behaviors and a disordered relationship with food, if we still find ourselves in this predicament, then I know it's fair game for everybody. Fair game for everybody. And that's why it's so scary, because I feel that the wellness culture does a much better job than diet culture did at keeping people scared. And I mean, I could continue on with my personal journey and example. So, you know, with this program that I signed up for, and I paid thousands of dollars for, at the end of it, I'm like starting to ask myself, well, is this kind of scammy? What is the validity of this? What is the validity of their training? What is, you know, should I be taking these supplements? Should I not be taking these supplements? How do I feel? And again, I'm at a point where I'm like, it's hard for me to really even trust my own body with what it's telling me. And that is so scary, so scary. And I know that it's overwhelming, it's disheartening. And anybody else in a similar boat, I feel that. And so, of course, I have to be like, well, how do I come back from this? Like, what do I do now, right? Like, what do I do? I feel like I can't trust my body with gluten. I can't trust it to not eat gluten. I just feel like I can't trust my body to give it to tell me how it feels. Like I'm just, but how do I come back from this, right? Like my poor body, not to mention my nervous system, because of the emotional and psychological state that I'm putting myself in, thinking about food, thinking about how I'm feeling. It's all around not good. So how do I unpack this and get back to my intuitiveness, whether I choose to continue to eat gluten or whether I choose not to eat gluten? Like, how do I decide, right? Point being is, what I always go back to, not point being, that's not really what but what I come back to and what is my solid foundational truth is that, and this is just a belief, this is something that I hold as a certified intuitive eating counselor, but somebody who's also very much so into the low tox, organic, sustainable way of living. These are two truths that I never waver on, because I just don't believe that there's anything in this world that will ever, ever come about that will make me waver from believing these truths. And that is, one, I mean, I guess I'll just put them together, is that a whole foods, low tox, intuitive way of eating will never fail you. And what I mean by that is, if you're consuming foods in a holistic manner, and that is, if you're consuming them in a way that they are just purely what they are. So let's just say you're eating, you know, animal meats, you're eating steak and beef and chicken, and you're eating them in their true form, you know, and not true form, I don't mean you're just eating a hunk of meat Maybe you take that hunk of beef and you ground it up and you put taco seasoning on it and you consume it. That's still in its natural form. Basically, what I'm saying is if you take the food and you take out all of these artificial stuff and you stick to foods that are true foods found in nature, and you eliminate as many of these chemicals and toxins that are artificial and synthetic and man-made, then you're doing great. You're doing phenomenal by honoring your body and your health, because that's just hard to argue with, in my opinion. You know, when you start putting these additives and these synthetic things and these man-made things into your body, whether that's consuming them through the foods that you eat or the products that you use in your home or on your body, you have no idea what they're doing to your body. And, you know, there's tons of science that say that some of these chemicals are toxins and this is what they do, which it's really hard to argue with a lot of these findings as well. But there's also, just like anything on the internet, things that say, nope, that's hogwash. These are all safe toxins. These are safe chemicals. But how do we know? And it puts us in that position again where we're like, well, what do I believe? I'm overwhelmed. I have no idea what to turn to. But if you're just putting things into your body and onto your body and exposing yourself to things that are true and natural in their natural state, you can't go wrong. So what have I decided to do? Get back to that. Get back to how I have been living my life for the last 2.5 or so years, where I really consume a very organic, low-tox diet. And that's not in the restrictive sense. I eat pizza. I eat tacos. I eat cheeseburgers. I definitely consume all of the same foods just about everybody else does. The quality is just a lot different. And it's not what you're eating, it's the quality of what you're eating. And I know for some people, they might not be in a headspace with the relationship with food in their body, that still sounds very much like a diet or a disorder type of eating to them. And it is a fine line between the two when you're looking at a low-tox, organic way of living and not crossing that bridge over into a disordered relationship with food. You really do have to be in a very healthy space and a very healthy mindset with your relationship with food in order to enter into this realm, I believe, of low-tox organic living and that lifestyle, because it can become a very disordered way of existing and eating for you if you haven't done the unpacking and all of the other work that you need to do with healing your relationship with your food and with body first. But you know, when I keep my quality of ingredients and things that I consume and use very simplistic and pure, that's something I can feel good about. You know, when I am making tacos and I put my seasonings on there and they're pure seasonings and I'm not using a seasoning packet that was 98 cents at Walmart and or whatever, you know, grocery store you pick it up from, and it has all of these different chemicals and toxins that are synthetic and artificial, like high fructose corn syrup, or because that can be in a, like, powder form, and you know, titanium dioxide and all these other things, cellulose and whatever. And they're just pure seasonings, I can feel better about that. So with that, and then honoring how my body feels, putting things as, like, you know, I can choose whatever I want. If I choose to eat gluten, that's fine. My body will handle that. If I choose to not eat gluten, then my body will handle that too. If, you know, just really being intuitive and letting my body kind of tell me what it feels and how it feels. That's just a belief that I feel like there's nothing in this world that can come about that tells me that, you know, that's a bad idea. Because regardless of what studies come out saying things like gluten are good for you, or gluten is bad for you, or dairy is good for you, or dairy is bad for you, or animal proteins are good for you, oh, nope, they're bad for you. Regardless of what studies say what, if I'm consuming something in a natural form and my body feels okay and I feel great, A-okay, right? So it's just very tricky, and I don't want anybody to be in the situation where they feel overwhelmed and like they can't trust their body. And I feel like there's a lot of things keeping us from feeling like we really are in control with our food and our body and our whole lives and our health and our wellness. That's going to be, I think, in the next episode. We're going to really dive into that. But today I just wanted to share my personal story a little bit in falling victim to the wellness culture and how easy it can be to just really fall victim to that. And so, and then it's even harder to be like, well, how do I come back from that? Because if you're like me, or maybe you're not like me, but if you've done the work or some work, or you're maybe in the middle of the working to break up with diet culture and to really heal your relationship with food and disordered eating, you could feel like, okay, well, I thought I was doing really good, and I was doing really good as far as healing my relationship with my body and with food. And I thought I was going to continue that and strengthen that by doing X, Y, and Z. But now I find that I'm victim to the wellness culture, and I'm almost like taking a couple steps backwards. Because truthfully, as a certified intuitive eating counselor, that's how this feels, like a couple steps backwards. But I am also grateful for this lesson because it allows me to strengthen my relationship with my body and to become even more intuitive. And as an intuitive eating counselor, to help my clients learn by my doing. So, you know, as much as it definitely is a little disheartening, but I also don't want it to go without being a lesson learned and to provide some help to others by my experiences. So yeah, that's that. If you guys have any questions about anything that we discussed, if you have any comments, if you just want to chit chat, you can always find me on Instagram at The Organic Buzz. You can email me at theorganicbuzz@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on, I believe, on the Apple Podcast. They allow you to leave a review and a rating, and all of the links to connect with me are also listed. So there's always tons of ways to get a hold of me. So until next time, loves, stay safe, stay happy, and I'll talk to you later.